Spotlight on the Shade. Matthew Pottage is the curator of the RHS flagship garden, Wisley. He has a passion for shade-tolerant plants. Shady gardens can be just as beautiful and rewarding as any sunny space, and if given a choice, I would personally choose a shade. Just stick with the old saying, right plant, right place, only choosing shade lovers for a shady spot. You could create lush tapestries of foliage plants punctuated with flowering bulbs in late winter and spring and again in autumn. What will grow in shade apart from weeds? Many beautiful woodlanders love shade. They include foliage plants such as begonias, bruneras, hostas, Solomon's seal, ruscus, lily of the valley, actea, daphnes, aspidistra, unonymous, and all manner of ferns. Choose a mixture of evergreen and deciduous plants. They'll look best in groups of 3, 5 or 7, rather than singly. Repeat the groups too if you have space. Can I have flowers in my shady garden? Many bulbs are happy in shady spots. If your shade is cast by deciduous trees, that's ideal, as late winter and early spring bulbs grow up and flower before most trees come into leaf. You could start with bright yellow winter aconites, Aranthus hymalis, snowdrops, Galanthus, and a lovely white daffodil, such as Narcissus thalia, to give a visual lift. Then add colchicums for autumn flower power. Both spring and autumn flowering cyclamen are great choices for shade too. Why does everything I plant under my tree die? Perhaps the hardest part of gardening in shade is establishing plants under mature trees. The soil can be very dry and poor, so plants need a lot of help to settle in. Lay a seep hose, a special hose with holes, through the bed, coiled around the plants, to water easily and effectively. Then every winter add a thick layer of mulch, garden compost or well-rotted manure, to seal in the moisture before spring. Also consider removing some of the tree's lower, but not the top, branches to reduce the depth of shade. What can I do about the slugs and snails that eat my shade-tolerant plants? Slugs and snails love hostas, so if you have a lot of these pests, then growing these classic shade-loving plants can be tricky. I suggest you choose varieties with stiff, silvery blue leaves, which are their least favourite, such as Halcyon or Hadstone Blue. Slugs rarely cause problems for tough plants such as begonias, which are good alternatives to hostas. With large glossy leaves and showy spring flowers, I recommend Bach and Beethoven. I find beer traps very effective in shady areas too. More problems solved. Prioritise and save time. Water new plantings and containers by soaking, not just splashing them. Hoe weeds when it's sunny and pull them when it's rainy. Concentrate on deadheading and harvesting too. Improve a windy plot. Plan to plant some tough shrubs in autumn, on the side the wind comes from. But for now you can make a windbreak with woven fabric and sturdy posts. Include a few gaps that a little wind can pass through, rather than blowing the windbreak down. Make compost faster. Turn compost heaps frequently to mix all the ingredients. With a compost bin, tip it onto a tarpaulin, mix with a fork, then put it back in the bin. Neaten the lawn. Keep up mowing, but set the blades high this month. Then make the edges neat using long-handled edging shears. Conquer weeds. Cut the flowers off all weeds before they can shed seeds. Then pull or dig out any with big roots. Hoe weeds with little roots. Push the hoe over the soil to cut off their tops. We now move on to gardener's question time. Our experts tackle your gardening problems, including abnormal roses, persistent weeds, and what to do with builder's rubble. We have 3 experts to hand, Pippa Greenwood. Pippa is one of the foremost experts on pests and diseases. She gardens using organic methods. We have Christine Walkden, garden writer. Christine appears on BBC One's The One Show. She's also a lecturer and tour leader. And we also have Matthew Wilson, garden designer. Matthew was curator of RHS Hyde Hall and Harlow Carr and often appears on television. Can I grow a clematis and rose through an old apple tree? Pippa says, as long as your old apple tree is still healthy, it should be fine. I'd not be so happy if it were sickly. If it has an infection, it may then spread around the garden, if the tree isn't removed, or if the tree looks as if it might soon blow over. That'd be a waste of the climbers you're about to plant. You don't say how big the apple is, but unless it is unusually tall, it may be better to choose a climbing rose, as ramblers could be too rampant for an apple tree to support. The choice is yours. Choose a colour that will make your heart sing and you'll not regret it. One of my favourite roses is the rich golden yellow and heavily scented marigold. For the clematis, I'd go for a Clematis montana or one of its varieties, as they don't need a regular pruning and are almost guaranteed to grow well. Christine says, what a lovely idea, and one that means you retain a bit of character and height in the garden. Be aware that the planting area at the base of the tree will be very compacted. It will also be starved of nutrients. So when taking out the planting hole, ensure that some well-rotted manure or garden compost is mixed into the soil to refill the holes, and remember to water them both before and after planting, and keep well watered until the plants are growing strongly and established. Rosa Suliana is a rambler that grows up to 5 metres with long, slender branches and yellow-scented flowers that are white in bud and would look lovely with Clematis viticella abundance, with its reddish-pink flowers up to 5 centimetres across that appear midsummer to early autumn. Why won't my wisteria flower? It was planted as recommended. Matthew says, your wisteria looks very healthy. In fact, I would say in rude health. For a 4-year-old plant, it has clearly grown very strongly to cover so much of the house wall. And I wonder if this is at the heart of why it hasn't flowered yet. Wisteria are often thought of as taking 4 or 5 years to flower, although they occasionally flower earlier. It may simply be a case of your plant waiting to get to a point where it is ready to flower, as all its energy until now has been spent growing. Try feeding it with a high potash fertiliser from next spring to help encourage flower bud formation. But you may have to be patient for a couple more years yet. How can I prevent end rot on my tomatoes? Matthew says blossom end rot is caused by a lack of calcium in the plant, brought about by an interrupted supply of water. The water carries the calcium into and around the plant. Prevent by watering every day, early in the season and twice a day in hot weather. Apply about 1 litre per plant per day from June to July. Keep the plant just moist to stop the cycle of a plant being too dry and then too wet, and improve the soil with well-rotted organic matter. How should I remove rubble from my new garden? Christine's answer: first, establish what you want to do with the garden. If you want a traditional garden with borders and a lawn, the best way is to order a skip and dig down and physically remove all the rubbish. This is a very hard job, but in the long term it will make your life considerably easier. Retain any bricks or paving that you feel may be of use to you in the coming years, as paving or hard surface materials or even hardcore. You may not know at this stage what you want to do in a couple of years' time. Another option is to make raised beds with your bricks and then buy in new soil to fill these newly constructed beds. What can we do with a new lawn ruined by crane flies? Pippa says the larvae of the crane fly, known as leather jackets, can cause a lot of damage, both by their own feeding and because they attract animals such as foxes, badgers and birds that rip up the lawn to search for this delicious snack. Nematode control is the most environment-friendly option, and as long as you follow the instructions, they work extremely well. Use in September and again at double strength in spring if the problem persists. Reseeding the lawn depends on the weather. If it is hot and dry where you are, wait until late summer to mid-autumn, when it will be easier to keep the newly seeded area adequately moist. The nematodes need moisture too.